And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Happy New Year, everybody. Pete and Nick back with you, NHL Fantasy on Ice, for Week 12 waiver wire pickups. How's it going, Nick? Welcome to the new year, man. High hopes.
I'm fantastic, my man. Happy New Year to everybody listening out there. Happy New Year to you guys. My goodness, the offense in the NHL has been pretty electric since the pause ended. Goals, and more goals. And we even saw it in the Winter Classic, which Bob predicted, right?
Yeah, so much for that under. I mean, the temperature hit the under, but certainly not the goals.
Zing.
It's been really fun to watch the St. Louis Blues. Of course, previous show, we were talking about bold predictions, some of the longer shot teams that could actually win the cup. I think St. Louis put a little exclamation point on that conversation with their performance over the weekend. They still don't have Braden Schenn back, which makes it a very scary thing for the rest of the Western Conference. Once they get him back, maybe he shifts to wing once he's back. But whether it's Kyrou, Buchnevich, Ryan O'Reilly, Torrey Krug getting back on track a little bit this season. You love to see it from that group, and they're grizzled. They're ready to take on anybody in the Western Conference. And especially when you look at, right, Nick, like they got swept last year in the playoffs. We thought they were trending down and out, but that team's really impressive this year. One of the biggest stories of the season, and great to see them get that game in the other day, right? With all the COVID problems and of course the record low temperatures, you never know what's going to happen anymore. So I was happy to see that game be played in full without any hiccups.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic again. Since the break ended, I think it's been, fascinating hockey, probably not so much for coaches. I actually crunched the numbers, if you can believe it. That's what I bring to this podcast now. 36 games, 257 goals scored, 7.1 goals per game. It seems like pretty much every night the over is hitting. That's why I started tweeting about it. Along those lines, the New York Rangers, Pete, are a team that's fascinated me the last little while. How about your boy Mika Zibanejad? Is he on one of those infamous heaters right now?
He is. He's got six goals in his past five games, had a hat trick, single-handedly took down Andre Vasilevsky in Vasilevsky's return from COVID protocol. Really ugly game there for him. And a lot of those goals came early. So I think that speaks to the state of the league right now with the goaltending too. And that's something we'll get to with waiver wire James in a few minutes. I mean, it's really tough. If you don't have a strong three or four goalies in your fantasy league right now, you are reeling. You know me, Nick, I usually carry four or five goalies. In one of my leagues, I had to cut the cord on Elvis Merzlikins over the weekend after he got rocked by the Carolina Hurricanes, and I'm going with three goalies now in that league. And that includes like Spencer Knight, who's been really rocky this season, but had a good performance in the win last week against the Tampa Bay Lightning with a high save percentage, gave up three goals, but I'm back on that train because there's just nobody else with high upside and high ceiling anymore other than like a Spencer Knight or a young goalie like that.
Yeah, simply put, you're that guy hoarding toilet paper, right, when it comes to goaltending. But that's a smart strategy because, like, you're right. Like, every team out there in fantasy hockey has been decimated in the crease, decimated everywhere. And you want to find a guy who has a pulse who can start a hockey game. And if it's Max Legace, it's Max Legace or anybody else for that matter. So that's a pretty smart strategy right now. Definitely, Pete, that's for sure.
Were you picking up anybody over the weekend in any of your leagues? I know there are some deeper guys like Devils are playing a little bit better right now. There's so much offense around the league. Yeah. Other than goalie, or who were you looking at? What's your big takeaway from last week? Now that we've started to see some games start to pile up, right? They're getting a lot more of the games in these days.
Yeah, I had an Alex Barabanov stream. You know, I've looked at Ross Colton the last couple of days. I think, most importantly, I think there's a bit more clarity and relief when it comes to rosters with the isolation period changing from 10 to 5, especially in the States, starting to get way that way here in Canada as well. So I think you'll have to make less and less decisions like that. And the waiver wire was our friend. And I think we should hit the waiver wire right now with our guy here.
Let's do it. So we're bringing on Waiver Wire James. Follow him at Waiver Wire James. Happy New Year, buddy. Thanks for joining us for Week 12. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year, guys. And as producer Bob said last week on the show, 2022, whoop-de-doo. Let's get it going, boys. Come on. For the brand, that is the slogan. Let's go.
Yeah, we're eternal optimists here in 2022 because it can't be much worse than it was in 2021. I think we have to start. I love the optical, the Winter Classic on Saturday. I thought that was tremendous. And my boy Joe Mauer was there. That's all that mattered in my world, being a big-time baseball fan, you guys know. But I want to talk about the St. Louis Blues. I don't know if it's the first line or the second line, but I've been banging the Robert Thomas drum, and he's on your list this week.
You got to love what St. Louis is doing. I mean, this season overall, but certainly as of late, and that line with Tarasenko, Jordan Kyrou, and Robert Thomas has just been absolutely electric. It seems right now, whatever buttons they're pushing out there, whoever they put together, whoever they put on the ice, and let's not forget, they're doing this without Ivan Barbashev and without Pavel Buchnevich in the lineup, and they're still playing this strong. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that lineup shakes out when you have two other guys who easily would be top six forwards on any other team playing, you know, who aren't playing. But when you look at what Robert Thomas is doing, there were a lot of people going into the season that said he could be a 40, 50 assist guy this year. And there were a lot of people out in the fantasy world that were very skeptical of that. And he's just proving all of those people who said, hey, this is going to be a breakout year for Robert Thomas Wright. Now, a couple of things I wish he was doing more. I wish he was scoring a little bit more. I wish he was shooting a little bit more. But at the same time, when you're playing with two guys like Tarasenko and Kyrou, and when you've been playing with the guys he's been playing with all season, it's hard to shy away from him. He's a must-own asset, especially with how the St. Louis Blues are trending right now.
So the Blues actually got Kyrou back recently. Of course, 7 points in his past two games. He's totally blown up. Barbashev and Buchnevich also returned for the Winter Classic and had points. And also Brandon Saad's on the other line with O'Reilly and Perron, and he quietly has 12 goals this season. So seems like any way that you could tap into this Blues top five deep offense has our full approval. Also, James, a couple of guys returned from injuries in the past couple of days. Brian Rust, the big one, he exploded over the weekend with 5 points in his return for the Penguins, playing with Crosby and Gensel. But another one that jumps out to me, a little bit more under the radar, Adam Boqvist, no longer on power play one after Patrick Laine's return from injury. But I know you like what he has cooking the past few weeks prior to his injury.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the player of Adam Boqvist. You look what, and we've talked about him a little bit in the past. He's been on the list earlier this season at different points. 2 points coming out of the return from COVID for the Blue Jackets, a goal over the weekend against Carolina, two shots on goal, one hit, four block shots in his past two games. So he's definitely jumped back into that lineup and is starting to produce the way that, you know, a lot of people were expecting him to produce this season after the trade that brought him to the Blue Jackets. And the not being on PP1 anymore does hurt him a little bit, but it really wasn't adding too much value when you looked at what the Blue Jackets were doing overall as of late, even when he was in the lineup. So I don't necessarily think losing him on PP1 right now is going to be that much of an issue. You could always see him get back there if they change their lineups. He's still going to be seeing power play time, but I think it's just going to be the expanded role at even strength that he's going to be seeing. And as a streaming option, again, he's only 9% rostered, so you're going to be looking at him in deeper leagues for sure. This week coming up against Tampa Bay on Tuesday, and then they have two games to close out the week against New Jersey. And so I definitely like the streaming appeal right now of Adam Boqvist with how he's playing. And then that could turn into more, you know, permanent roster appeal, depending on how the next 2 to 3 weeks shake out for him and the Blue Jackets now that they have Patrick Laine back.
Of course, Boqvist is the key cog in the Seth Jones deal with Chicago. Guys, all I got to say is Happy New Year, David Satriano. Yegor Sharangovich with Bratton Hughes, and now he's riding a 4-game point streak. He's on fire. I'm all over him this week. So are you, James?
Oh, I absolutely love Sharangovich, and loved him last year too when he started to break out playing with Jack Hughes last season. And this year, or I should say this month, really the last few weeks since Hughes has come back, That line with Sharon Govich and Brat has been one of the best lines in the NHL, and they had another big weekend over the weekend. Sharon Govich now has points in three straight games, or I should say in four straight games, scored a goal in three straight games. He has 12 shots on goal in his last three games. And so the fact that he's playing with Hughes, and I was telling everybody, I was getting questions all over the place on social media, you know, should I trade Jack Hughes? Should I drop Jack Hughes? And I was telling everybody, like, hold it, just let him get back, let him get up to speed. And then you're going to see the guy that we thought was going to be almost a point per game player this season. And now you're starting to see it. And if you held him, you're reaping the benefits. And now you need to start tapping into the guys who are playing with him. And one of those guys is Sharon Govich, 8% rostered right now. But I also love the fact in Yahoo leagues, try eligible center, left wing and right wing. And I think that that is going to be one of the top 20 lines in the NHL for the rest of the season. Bold prediction.
I love it, James. Looking ahead to 2022, now that we've hit the new year. And of course, when you look at lines around the league, we always look for those Sunday night late game gems. And that jumped out to us yesterday, me and James actually have a joint team now. James took over Robbie's spot. So we're going to be manning that team for the rest of the season. And so we have Paul Stastny. We picked him up. He's 10% rostered for the Winnipeg Jets. Nick mentioned him a couple of shows ago, how he's playing with Ehlers and Scheifele, but he scored another goal, had the 3-point game before the break. So, James, you trust this veteran player? I mean, it seems like he's still kicking around here and now starting to skyrocket over the past couple of games.
You have to give him a shot at this point. The changes that Lowry has made to that roster and that lineup since he took over has definitely helped. And they've been playing a better brand of hockey than we've seen the Winnipeg Jets play over the last year or two. And they seem like they're playing a little bit more up-tempo. They seem like they're playing a little bit more offensive and defensive. You know, they're playing both ways a little bit more. But he really just looks like he's letting, you know, the full faucet go. He's letting these guys just go out, skate and try and, you know, make something happen. I think it's amazing the fact that they scored 5 goals over the weekend on Sunday in their win against Vegas, and Nick Ehlers didn't have a point. I think that was a pretty shocking outcome there the other day. But Stastny is reaping the benefit, kind of just like I was talking about with a player like Sharon Govich. Now, obviously, Stastny is a much more established veteran. We know the kind of player that he is and that he has been, but he hadn't been that player for most of this season since he was back with the Jets. And now he's on a line with Ehlers and Scheifele, and he's starting to produce. So I think you have to take notice of that for sure. In those deeper leagues, 100%, you have to add him. In more shallow leagues, I would wait to see kind of how everything plays out. But he's one of those guys, regardless of anything, that needs to be on your radar right now just because of the exposure to two guys that we all believe are at the top end of their game, top 35, top 40 players in Scheifele and Ehlers. So you have to take notice when somebody like Stastny starts producing on a line with guys like that.
And James, to wrap here, you know, speaking of taking notice, I'm probably not jumping on this file this week because they're not playing again. The New York Islanders, Noah Dobson, is he reaching must-win territory for you?
He's starting to get there. When you look over the last month, what Dobson has done, he looks like a completely different player. Now, obviously, we know, especially with young defensemen, it takes a little bit of time for them to develop a more, just because of the fact that they're tasked with playing two ways so much more than some of these young scoring forwards. And over his first two seasons, you could see Dobson definitely started to struggle in Barry Trotz's system, being more of a defensive defenseman. There were lapses in a lot of games, even earlier this season. But then COVID started to hit the Islanders, and Dobson was given a bigger role and a more responsibility. And something's clicked for him over the last 4 to 6 weeks, and he's just playing like a different animal right now. 10 points, 4 power play points, 27 shots on goal, 10 hits, 18 blocks in his past 10 games. So the category coverage is just absolutely ridiculous. and he's starting to look like the player that the Islanders drafted, you know, I think 11th or 12th about 4 or 5 years ago. He's starting to be that guy, and it's exciting to see. So, yeah, definitely he's trending towards must-own territory. He's one of those streamer guys that you have to pick up, but obviously he's a guy that you can wait on right now because I think the Islanders, just due to all the postponements, have about a week and a half to almost 2 weeks off until their next game.
Yeah, it's tough. It seems like the Islanders' schedule has totally been ravaged this season, but they will have a ton of games over the second half of the season, and you'll see guys like Lee, who has goals in two straight games since the break, Dobson, Wallstrom, guys like that, Brock Nelson will resurface. So maybe if you are able to bite the bullet right now, you can reap the longer term rewards of players like that. And James, last question for me, the goalie landscape right now is a complete mess. You mentioned Vegas gave up 5 to Winnipeg on Sunday. That was Laurent Brossoit. So that kind of dashed people's waiver wire hopes about him. He had a strong month of December, though, but Mike Smith came back from injury, has given up 10 goals in his past two games. Cam Talbot, 12 goals in his past two games. They are hesitant to turn to Kakinen. So where are you going on the waiver wire right now? Because the goalie landscape is really tough to come by now.
It's really hard to make any kind of a solid bet or guess about the goaltending landscape at the moment, because so many of the goaltenders that you want have such high ownership. There's not really, I don't want to call it, you know, bottom dwelling, but when we're talking about the rostered percentage, there's not a lot of value on the waiver wire right now. And it's just because there's so many of these established starters out there. In more shallow leagues, a guy like Mackenzie Blackwood, being only 61% owned, Semyon Varlamov, just because of how good Ilya Sorokin is 69% owned. So he's available in almost, you know, a third of every league. Our favorite guy up in Buffalo, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, 20% owned right now, but he's given up 8 goals against in his past two games. Antti Raanta has been playing pretty solidly for Carolina, but we all know that that's Freddie Anderson's net. So, you know, even up in Boston, Jeremy Swayman, but who knows with all the rumors floating about Tuukka Rask. So, you know, there's depth on the waiver wire when it comes to goaltending, but I don't know how much I trust it. Like you said, though, you know, Mike Smith is a guy who, just for the appeal of wins, I would probably try and tap into with the Edmonton Oilers. Brossoit, until Leonard gets back, is probably a solid option. But there's just not a whole lot of depth. I am waiting, and I was banging on this drum, you know, a month or so ago about Kaapo Kakkonen. I mean, you have to give him a shot at this point, just with how it's starting to come off the rails for Cam Talbot. So, you know, he's definitely somebody, if I was going to pick up somebody to take a bet on, it's Kakkonen.
The rumors on Kakkonen, like, I was wondering why Seattle didn't take Kakkonen, but apparently the analytics aren't good on him. But still, I see a big-time goaltender who can move. So maybe they go with him moving forward. James, this has been fantastic, and it's been very, very difficult to navigate the goalie market. I, for one, stream Max Legacy a couple times, and I'm here to talk about it, at least. I'll say that.
Ouch.
Yes, Nick, ouch is right.
Nick, tell us how that made you feel.
Terrible. Terrible. I still feel it, but I survived. So that's all that matters. And so did we. Appreciate this, James.
Always, guys. Thank you. And I got a bold prediction that I just want to throw out there for 2022. At some point, my bold pick, Tomas Hertl, to either the Minnesota Wild or the Boston Bruins.
I like the bold take for Tomas Hertl. A couple of good landing spots there. I think he would fit really well personally with the Boston Bruins if they could make a splash by getting Tuukka Rask back and then adding a forward to replace, that spot still up for grabs with David Krejci no longer in the mix. That would be the top spot for me. For Minnesota right now, Joel Eriksson X injured. I was even looking, I did an AHL dive, and Marco Rossi's producing well in the AHL this season, better than a point per game. So I think Minnesota has some insurance at the center position, surprisingly enough, but Boston needs a bit of a lift to get back into the cup conversation, Nick.
Yeah, definitely. You know, goes without saying, I think it's going to be sort of an arms race, Pete, when it comes to the deadline. And we always know how teams position themselves around the deadline and see what they can do. Like, I would throw the New York Rangers out there in the conversation as well. Every team is looking for offense, and certainly Tomas Hertl can provide that. And I think the most integral thing to talk about is that he's likely going to be available, and doesn't sound like he's going to re-sign with San Jose. So teams better line up with, you know, their best trade offer, because I think there's going to be obviously multiple teams in on this file, but I think that's going to only help to boost Hertl in the long run moving forward this fantasy season, Pete.
Speaking of the Boston Bruins, I think we've seen Charlie McAvoy hit that full-fledged breakout status, which a lot of people, including me, knew was eventually coming, and we saw him break out last postseason, so it was only a matter of time. But once you start to see this Boston offense get their top dogs back and stuff like that, and even Taylor Hall gets some, I know we've been hard on Taylor Hall on this on this show before, especially recent episodes, but it seems like he's starting a little uptick. And when you have an MVP winner from the past like five seasons heating up in a secondary role, like, are you excited again at all seeing a couple of points and flashy assists here and there from Taylor Hall?
Not really. I'll be honest. I love their default move is to always, you know, jumble up their top six for about 15 minutes. And then they come back on Saturday. They put the perfection line back together in the third period. It's always like the default move. But I think obviously you take a look right now at Craig Smith, who's playing on that top line. You got Hall and Pastrnak for the first time. So they're trying to figure out a way to get offense. We know Jake DeBrusk's name is out there in the trade market as well. So I would expect some movement here moving forward by the Boston Bruins. But I think when you look at Taylor Hall, it just Boston forever has been and will continue to be, I think, a one-line team. And they'll try to figure out how to dance through that, because I think depth scoring, and you probably agree, is the one thing separating Boston with maybe the upper echelon teams right now in the Eastern Conference, Pete.
Yeah, and speaking of upper echelon teams in the East, like, I know Tampa Bay lost both games over the weekend to the New York Rangers after they were in the top seat in the league standings. But it sounds like now, maybe not the next game, but as soon as the game after that, Nikita Kucherov could be considered. It seems like he could come back in a matter of days, not necessarily weeks. What is the fantasy impact of that sort of thing? Because Kucherov, I know we got a fan question over the weekend. It was like someone was asking, I have Svechnikov right now in a one-year league. Should I trade him for Kucherov? I might make that move. Kucherov is like a top five player when he's healthy, and it sounds like he's going to be very soon.
1,000% agree, because I think as we realized and noticed and saw in last year's Stanley Cup playoffs, this guy can miss an extended period of time and come back like he missed nothing. And I fully expect that again. You know, another one of our questions was regarding Ross Colton and maybe his long-term prospects as a fantasy file. I don't see it, because once Kucherov comes back, he's pretty much going to take over there in the top six. But you know, we'll put it this way, Pete, if you have the opportunity to acquire Nikita Kucherov, you do so. And it's sort of, you know, interesting to me that, you know, all this time and I was putting out numbers without Point, without Kucherov, Point comes back and they start losing games. Now, granted, their goaltenders are completely wiped out. They're down to like a fourth stringer named Hugo, our guy. So it was tough sledding the past week for Tampa. We're laughing about that. It was tough sledding for Tampa, but it's sort of fascinating that happened. But I expect this team to really take off here in the second half. I can't believe Kucherov's coming back.
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten some nice depth contributions. If you are streaming a guy for a game or two this week for Tampa Bay, Colton, certainly the guy in an elevated role. I know Cirelli came back over the weekend, so they're starting to get the band back together. But Cirelli's done a really nice job, you know, maintaining fantasy relevance regardless of lineup placement so far this season. And then even like a Corey Perry's been scoring like near point per game over the past 3 or 4 weeks. So impressive what they've done per usual. And then the lineup will start to shake out. And if you start to see, right, Braden Point, Kucherov, and Palat on the other side in his contract year, you can start to expect a more consistent Andre Palat. Maybe now is the time before that Kucherov news to buy in on Palat. In a low-level trade, right? You probably won't have to give up that much to get a Palat right now.
Yeah, I think there's extreme value clearly in that with the names around him. And Pete, you know I love my schedule. The outlook for the upcoming week, 39 games in total. We know the 19 teams to look at. I think we certainly know the teams to stay away from. The two-game teams, Carolina, Edmonton, LA, Minnesota, Ottawa, Toronto, Washington, and Winnipeg. One-game teams, Buffalo, Seattle, and Vancouver. And then the teams that are not playing at all in this fantasy week, the Montreal Canadiens and the New York Islanders. But of those teams, I mentioned the three-game teams. St. Louis really sticks out. We've beat the Robert Thomas drum. We did with waiver wire James as well. Ditto for Brandon Saad. But I think any team, I think you're looking for game volume right now in standard weekly leagues, no?
Yeah, you are. As much as we like the uptick, I like what I saw from the other day with Alex Tuch having a multi-point game. That's another guy that is not even 30% rostered as of show record time. So
yeah,
get in on him. Get back in on Tage Thompson, Rasmus Dahlin. Our bold prediction for Rasmus Dahlin is that he could finish top 10 among defensemen this season
like
in scoring.
Yeah.
And it's actually realistic because he's about 15 or 20 right now, and he's on a little bit of a heater since these guys have been coming back. So that's kind of good to see, right, for Buffalo, like to actually have an elite player at their position, at a given position. I mean, we didn't think we would see that the rest of the season after losing Jack Eichel. And now it seems like Dahlin's starting to live up to his potential. I mean, he had like 40-something points as a rookie. I mean, the ceiling's still very high for Rasmus Dahlin. He's still extremely young. So it's been good to see him get going. But yeah, only one game this week. So that's a tough thing. Like the Islanders schedule thing, really difficult to roster those players right now. But you got to hang tough with Barzal, with Sorokin. Everybody else, as much as we like them, they might be floating on the waiver wire this week just because of the schedule situation. Their whole Western Canada road trip was postponed and rescheduled for later in the year.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. Like, that's the important point, I think, to bring up, that, you know, there's no waiting around. You know, I know we brought up Noah Dobson, but I just can't have a player sitting on my roster for a week and a half, and especially when he's under 25% utilized. I think you take a flyer later on, and I'm with you. There's the core guys that you're probably not dropping. The guys you mentioned for Montreal, I think everybody's fair game at this point in time. We're not even going to touch the Montreal Canadiens because, man, oh, man, it's just what a fall from grace. I know they're banged up. You know, I think only three players are on that roster in another rematch of the Stanley Cup final last week. It's been tough sledding, but
yeah,
who knows? Shane Wright could fall into the laps of the Montreal Canadiens. I think we should talk about some replacement options here when it comes to centers. A tough week for centers in fantasy hockey, Pete. Sean Couturier, Joel Eriksson Ek, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins day-to-day with the Edmonton Oilers. I think internally, there's a lot of DFS value. You look at Philadelphia, I expect Kevin Hayes and Morgan Frost to maybe play elevated roles, clearly. How about our guy Freddie Hockey, Freddie Goodrow, now in line two with Foligno and Fiala, plus PP2. Devin Shore getting a look with Drysdale and Yamamoto. Yamamoto's also playing PP1, so I think certainly you look there. And some guys I'd look at externally, I think that's probably your best bet, and you would agree in terms of at least fantasy hockey and not so much daily fantasy, but Ryan Johansson, Robert Thomas, who we've talked about a lot here on the pod already, and Igor Sharangovich. So luckily there's a variety of different ways you can go to get around some of these injuries right now, Pete.
Yeah, Sam Bennett got suspended for three games for the Florida Panthers. He was really cooking lately with Duclair and Huberdeau, so now that spot's going to be up for grabs.
It's on.
Either a Reinhardt special if he moves back to center, or it could be Anton Lundell.
Love
so keep
that.
An eye
yeah.
out for that. We've talked about him a lot this year at different points. Ryan Johansson's back from COVID protocols, had some points lately. Nico Hischier, another guy.
Yes.
He's playing on a separate line from that trio we were talking about with James, but Hischier scored the overtime winner, has been piling up the goals lately. Obviously was a high-end prospect derailed by injuries the past couple of years. But if the Devils are going to start heating up, he plays on power play one with Jack Hughes. Maybe they have a little connection brewing here. Only unfortunate thing with the Devils is that Dougie Hamilton got injured over the weekend. So hopefully he's not out for very long, but seemed like kind of serious. So we'll keep an eye on that. But yeah, there are some options at center. And one team that I'm really worried about right now, they've been losing some close games, Nick. But speaking of underachieving Canadian teams, like Montreal's been bad all year. But I mean, Edmonton right now seems to be falling from grace a little bit. I mean, the top guys are still producing. but they're hanging on by a thread in the playoff picture right now. And you still see teams behind them. Like the Kings are playing pretty well. The Winnipeg Jets, we expect to be a playoff team. Vancouver Canucks, if they keep charging, they'll get in over Edmonton for a wild card spot or even in that Pacific Division. And then there are other teams like Dallas and San Jose that don't seem to really be going away either. So what's the state of play for this Edmonton Oilers team and their playoff hopes and their futures appeal? It seems to be going south very quickly right now.
It is. And I always like to tweet out someone make a trade. Now it's someone make a save. That's the big time problem, simply put, with Edmonton. They can get offense. They can't get a save. Mike Smith comes back, gets lit up 10 goals in two games. He's injured again. Mikko Koskinen, well, we know where he's at. Stuart Skinner. They've really got to, figure this situation out. I was at a loss for words with the Oilers there because it's just been frustrating, I think, in fantasy, in real life, watching that team when you got guys like McDavid and Drysdale, and I like the Hyman pickup, but they need to address this head on. I don't envy the job clearly of Ken Holland with that cap situation right now, but they got to go after somebody and upgrade the goaltending position, because Pete, you can't lose another year of having these studs there. You've got to go for it this year and they have a legitimate shot if they can get a save, in my opinion.
Yeah, and even the fact that they've had a breakout season from Evan Bouchard on the blue line, he's exactly. Like an all-around defenseman. Like, he's been much better than Tyson Barrie. I mean, I feel like Tyson Barrie has been on the outs fantasy-wise over the course of the season gradually, especially when Nurse is playing. I mean, he's like the third defenseman now, and he's an offensive specialist, and he hasn't been putting up the same degree of point scoring this season, so... Yeah, a bunch of disappointing players on Edmonton. And then, I think when you have a guy like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins banged up too, Nugent-Hopkins masks a lot of those problems too. Like when you see that Edmonton has such good special teams over the years, that's because of, two-way play of Nugent-Hopkins and two-way play of Bouchard this year. And Darnell Nurse, I think, has become an elite defenseman when he's healthy two ways after some issues defensively in previous years. But, beyond those guys, they don't have the depth. So if one of those or two of those guys are missing, it's not a good outlook for that team in the short term.
Speaking of outlook, Cam Talbot, it's been a bit of a struggle. I wrote my 20 fantasy thoughts on Sunday that it could be a bit of a buy low window. I know he was dinged up with a lower body injury leaving the Winter Classic. The last four appearances, 19 goals against. I think it's sound advice to maybe handcuff Talbot, at least right now, with Kapo Kakinen. But I think there's obviously value in this file because we both really like Minnesota for rest of season purposes.
Yeah, we do. I just wonder, how long is Spurgeon going to be out? Because that's a really good defense. Goligoski keeps producing for them. But I do think there is something missing with that group. I wouldn't be surprised if they made a move at the deadline.
They should.
I don't know if they're going to make a move for a goalie. They have two viable options, and Cam Talbot's was on a great run earlier in the year. So, this is kind of like a jagged schedule situation where he allowed six, then didn't play again for like a week or so, and then played outdoor in negative cold weather. So, yeah, I give him a pass a little bit. I think Cam Talbot will be fine. But it's certainly a team to handcuff. I think that Laurent Brossoit is still someone to consider just because we don't know the severity of this Leonard injury. We just haven't heard much. Sometimes you see day to day and you're waiting the days and the weeks, and all of a sudden it's a couple of weeks and you don't hear anything. So, yeah, I would pick him up. He has... his save percentage is right around what Leonard's was this season. And we do expect Eichel to eventually join the Golden Knights and boost that overall outlook. So I do think Laurent Brossoit will be a nice 1B option, even when Leonard comes back, and should put up some decent peripherals because they'll eventually get Martinez back too. So, I'll get in there for the long haul on a Vegas goalie if I have the chance. And I like him a little bit more than Kakinen because it just doesn't seem like something is not right with why they're not playing him as much as they should be at the surface.
Yeah, they're insulating. I guess is the best word to use. I'm happy you brought up Vegas. I'm choosing chaos on this Monday. I've had this question ready to go all pod long, so I'm going to bring it up because it stems from a question we got via one of our listeners on social regarding the one and only Jack Eichel. Should fantasy owners, Pete, explore the trade market on Eichel? And the reason why I asked this question, Max Pacioretty's out indefinitely. Mark Stone's got a nagging injury. You take those two guys potentially out long-term. Where does that lead Jack Eichel, knowing what we know about that second line with Riley Smith and company, who they never want to break up?
Yeah, it definitely makes you worry a little bit, but I'm a believer to go out there in fantasy. If you don't have Eichel, especially if other people are having doubts, you know, bang the hammer, get Jack Eichel on your team, hope that he comes back for the fantasy playoffs. And if he does, even if he has, you know, Dadonov and Riley Smith as his line mates or something like that, like I would think that he's going to put up some monster numbers, assuming he's remotely healthy, which I think he will be once he finally returns. So I don't think they're going to rush Jack Eichel back. So, you know, you get him back late February, early March, something like that. You get a month or so of Jack Eichel on your roster. That's worth the risk, in my opinion, even coming off neck surgery. So yeah, I would get Jack Eichel in a trade here and now, and then just hope for the best come fantasy playoff time.
I was, you know, on the other side of the fence thinking, hey, if I own Jack Eichel, should I explore a trade that way? I think you have to do your due diligence as a fantasy owner in general. Just, I think if there's value to be found out there, and if there's somebody who's giddy beyond belief that Jack Eichel is going to be on the Vegas Golden Knights here at some point in time in the second half, I think you have a look. Because I don't know about you, there's still that seed of doubt for me again with the injuries I just brought up. The fact that Vegas is a team in the past historically has struggled to provide offense in the second half of a season, that if I find the value and if I find something that I think is acceptable in a deal, I'm probably pulling the trigger. But I'm Kenny Rogers, man.
I think, like, I have Malkin stashed in one league. I've been waiting and waiting for months now. They said it was a 2-month timetable. It's been a little longer than that, but I still think he'll be worth the wait. And by the way, like, Evan Rodriguez had a hat trick, even though he was moved down in the lineup. Malkin will eventually come back and probably bump him off power play one, but it's been pretty amazing what Evan Rodriguez has done. But again, I think it's worth the wait. I think any situation, the price will not be what it's going to be once Eichel does suit up and have a multi-goal game or multi-point game. And certainly in a keeper league, like you'd probably be wise to make the trade for him now, because once he gets back to top 25-30 overall status, you're going to have to give up a ton to get Jack Eichel. Whereas now there's a little doubt, so you can the price will be much lower. So that's kind of my stance on the matter. And then, you know, a couple other guys came back from injury over the weekend. Obviously the big dogs like Landeskog, Marner, Rust, we mentioned, had the great performance for the Penguins over the weekend. Bowen Byram, I have him in one league. I'm going to be inserting him into my weekly lineup coming up fast. I think that he has the ceiling to maybe challenge Mo Sider in the rookie defenseman scoring race if he can stay healthy. I'm a believer in Byram. And then Martin Nietzsche's came back as well. Someone was asking me over the weekend, should I drop Nietzsche's? What are your thoughts on him? He's like a good long-term player to have, I think, based on what he showed last year. He's just dealt with some injury this year.
Yeah, I love rostering him for one sole reason, so you can change your fantasy name to the Nature's Boy instead of the Nature Boy. But I think he's a good player. I think he's got, you know, obviously some legitimate value coming off the season he did in Carolina last year. I think he's provided offense here and there this year. There's so much depth on Carolina. I think that's the problem, right? When you're looking for a guy who's going to be consistent, you look at, even for example, a guy like Nino Niederreiter, who was irrelevant to start the year, and now he's relevant because he's in the top six. So at this point, Pete, I would definitely advise to hold on Natchez, because I think he's had his moments and will continue to do so moving forward this season.
I actually dropped Jordan Staal in one league over the weekend. I know they're still a three-line team and the offense is deep. There have been some inconsistencies. I think that's why
he's a shutdown guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And people are worried about Nietzsche is because sometimes he's on the top line, but more often he hasn't been. And Vincent Trocheck's valuable, like, over the course of the whole season, but he's had some dry spells as well. So kind of a difficult offense to predict on a game-to-game basis, but usually at the end of the year when it's all said and done, like all those guys will be in the top 150 overall in standard leagues, including Stahl, including Trocheck and Nietzsche and guys like that. So that's, it's kind of like one of those avalanche investments. Like when it's all said and done, the cream rises to the top, right?
Yeah. Carolina's nasty. And Pete, I think we've reached the most, fun time of the show. I guess you want to call it the most fascinating one for all of us. The betting corner, we're yet to be named, yet to be sponsored. We're getting there one day, Pete Jensen. I think most importantly, hockey's back. It's great to have the NHL games back, riding high off last week and all the offense. Take the over. I love it. But let's look at Monday slate. There's only one game. So I'm going to make a bet. I like the Oilers in regulation. Two overtime losses. They've lost three in a row overall. And the Rangers are riding high in a back-to-back, beating the Tampa Bay Lightning, which I think was a big statement game for Igor Shesterkin.
Yeah, I've had Shesterkin in one league, a wins shutouts only league for 2 years now. He's gotten me a lot of good save percentages, but it hasn't mattered. So anytime Igor gets the shutout and fans are chanting Igor, you love to see it when you have him in your fantasy league. And of course, like, even with all the high numbers of goals allowed that these goalies are giving up right now.
I know, he gets a shutout.
Days, he gets a shutout. He comes back from injury. Had that one bad third period against Florida, but really corrected himself nicely in the following games. And I still think there's a case if you could find a Shesterkin bet to win the Vezina right now. It's probably a good investment, assuming the Rangers hold on, make the playoffs, go from non-playoff team to playoff team, and he continues to shoulder a heavy load. And that's another thing about one guy James mentioned, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Like, he's given up four goals in each of his past two games, but he's facing like 40 shots a night.
It's insane.
He's had over a 900 save percentage in both of those games. So, and then he gets his wins here and there when the offense shows an uptick, but that is definitely a good strategy when you think about it. You knew Shesterkin was going to be facing a ton of shots this year. You knew that Thatcher Demko is going to be facing a ton of shots this year. And if you had both of those guys on your fantasy team right now, I don't know who I'd rather have around the league than those two right now, right? Shesterkin and Demko.
Yeah, and they play a lot, right? That's the most important part with any fantasy goalie, especially in this day and age of the tandem, to get a guy who's the bona fide number one. I think you can't stray away. And I love what Bruce Boudreau is doing right now in Vancouver. And as somebody owns Thatcher Demko, I'm feeling good. So those are my plays, or that is my play for Monday. Oilers in regulation. I got a couple more for you. Tuesday, I'm throwing the sledge at the Tampa Bay Lightning money line. They're playing Columbus, an old foe in the postseason. They've lost three in a row. They've been embarrassed a couple of times. Give me Tampa in that game. And Wednesday, St. Louis and Pittsburgh. I'm projecting that game to go at overtime. Fun police over here.
That'll be a great game. I mean, those are two of the best teams in the league and two that have caught us by surprise a little bit. So, Pittsburgh, St. Louis. I'm really excited to watch that one. And we can see what Pittsburgh can do here. I know that, like, what Jari's been on COVID protocol, but it hasn't really mattered. I mean, that team's so resilient. Been really fun to watch. So, Nick, great show, buddy. Happy New Year once again. And thanks again to James for hopping on. Find his list, nhl.com/fantasy, top 10 waiver wire pickups for week 12. We discussed a lot of them, but there are a few more names to choose from there. And we'll be back with you on Thursday, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Leave us a review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, NHL Fantasy Facebook page, and follow us on Instagram as well at NHL Fantasy. We'll see you on the other side, NHL Fantasy on Ice.